What is up, guys? It is Stu. It is the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. And in case you didn't hear, earlier this month, we announced that Urban Movement is releasing its license model. The brand that I created in Charlotte, North Carolina, that we've been so successful at wedging ourselves within the competition of the white space between the cardio heavy, you know, Orange Theories of the world and F45s and the CrossFit like models, the more barbell based models, the community driven models. Urban Movement has found its amazing stride right in that white space, and we want to align ourselves with other owners who want to help us grow that brand in their city. We are going to be giving you everything we had created for the franchise model, which was going to cost you $250,000, but then 2020 showed up and we had to pivot. So we're practically giving it away at a license model price of $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. That price will go up. So if you want to be in the first generation, I highly recommend submitting your information sooner than later. But guys, you're going to get the strictest geographical protection in the industry. Nobody else does this. You will get a license and nobody within your city limits can also open up a license. You will have full control of your city in bringing Urban Movement to that city. And you're finally going to have a true unique. You're going to have something that doesn't look like CrossFit, doesn't look like Barry's. It has its own flavor and style. Anyone who walks in will instantly recognize, I haven't seen this before. That's what we've been getting here in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's what's made us so successful. And now I want to expand that success to other micro gym owners and operators. You're also not going to have to worry about any more remote workouts. We will do all the workouts for you. Movement Anywhere is an amazing feature-packed, full HD quality workout videos that surround and encompass the Urban Movement brand. And it's a perfect complement to the in-person experiences as we navigate through these crazy times. You're going to get our entire marketing and branding suite. So we have the photos, the videos, the copy. If you want Facebook ads, we'll show you which ones we've run in the past, which ones will work for you. And you're going to get full business support. My two GMs that have grown Urban Movement from day one with me, I mean, they literally have had their DNA all over the creation of this brand, will be working side by side with our licensees to make sure they have a successful launch. Guys, we're super excited about it. If you want to submit your interest, go to the link in my Instagram bio, put it in there, and then we'll be contacting you with the further interview and application process. Remember, only one per city, guys. One license per city. Now, if you have that license, you can open up as many as you want. But we are not going ahead and crushing this thing. We're probably going to do between 5 and 10 in the first year and then create second generations the next year. So I'm super excited. I'm done talking about it. Let's get into the podcast. Thank you for listening. See you soon. How are you doing, you beautiful sons of bitches? It's Stu, and it is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast, and we're talking about why I don't believe, and believe is probably the wrong word, but it's the more clickbaity title, why I don't believe in the coach for life concept. Now, where this came from. Recently, I was on The Intro, which is a podcast hosted by MDV. If you don't know Matthew and his phenomenal work, he is a member of the NC Fit organization, and he has a podcast called The Intro. I was on it recently, and one of the things that we jammed on in that podcast was this concept of coach for life, and I made that comment. Like, I don't really believe in a coach for life, and I got some DMs from that. Now, a lot of my fan base is also a fan base of the active life. Right, so the active life, Sean Pastuch, good friend and colleague of mine, me and him would debate about this vigorously over a glass of bourbon. Here's my issue when I say I don't believe in the coach for life concept. I want to give you guys some context as to where that comes from, besides just it being clickbait. So, number one, I believe that a very, very small percentage of fitness professionals, and let's all agree that the entry level position into the fitness industry is a coach. Like, I mean, beyond like a front desk worker, it's going to be a coach. That is the lowest entry level position, coaching group classes or a personal trainer. Also, what Sean and others are trying to create, and I'm saying this in a good way, I believe in their mission, I like their mission, but they're also trying to create the coach to be also the highest level of professionalism and be viewed as, you know, akin to a healthcare professional or a lawyer or a doctor, which I think is great. I'm all for that. Here's the issues or the obstacles I see from a very practical standpoint, and let me know what you guys think about this. So in the beginning, somebody who is entering the fitness industry is going to go ahead and going to say, hey, this is fucking great. I like this. This is way better than my corporate gig. Ah, fuck. I could do this forever. Why wouldn't I want to do this forever? I get to change people's lives. I get to make a difference. I can make some good money, or so I heard. And it seems like a great thing. So during that honeymoon phase, you know, being a coach for life seems fucking great. However, the current infrastructure for the fitness industry is not designed to support the coach for life. Now, there are groups like Mad Lab, right? If you're not familiar with the Mad Lab group, they're an organization. Craig Patterson, good buddy. Their goal is to professionalize the coach. Sean Pastuch, his goal is to professionalize the coach. Companies like The Ready State and Kelly Starrett are looking to give coaches the tools to bridge the gap and make them more valuable and resourceful and, you know, ultimately looked upon as higher end professionals than the current fitness coach is looked at now. Here's the issue, where I take a stance on this. I believe that human beings are fickle creatures. And I think you probably couldn't argue with me on that. Fickle creatures. And I believe if we were to look at the historics of coaches, we would say that probably less than 5% of all fitness professionals maintain a coach for life type persona, meaning they are still coaching people when they retire. There's very few names in the industry. We can name a ton, Ripito and Creasy, Hinshaw. We could name a ton of different fitness professionals that are coaching well into their late years because they become an absolute SME in their specific niche. My thing is that for those of you guys who are general fitness coaches, you coach group fitness, you're a personal trainer, in order for you to create the kind of compensation and the business model around your thing, you are going to have to niche in very, very considerably. You're going to have to be very hard pressed to come up with 10 names in the history of fucking Everdom of somebody who is such a highly paid group fitness coach that they retired on their accolades and their, you know, tenure as a group fitness coach. That's not happening. It's not. Now, you look at companies like Active Life or any of these other organizations, they're trying to professionalize coaches by giving them more tools. You know, Sean's giving people the ability to assess, not guess, to, you know, get people out of pain without them having to go to the doctor or skip the gym. You know, Kelly Starrett's trying to give people this bridge kind of between like physical therapy, movement correction, and the traditional fitness coach type scenario. In that realm, where let's say that these organizations succeed, they are able to professionalize coaches by giving them all this skill set. Essentially, what it does is it raises the bar of the industry. Coaches will now be looked at as more valuable. Yet again, you are going to be faced with a problem. How are you going to become one of the top 10% coaches in the world that gets paid the top money from the time you start to the time you retire? And how do you create a business infrastructure around that? Meaning, when I say business infrastructure, we all know that, you know, the Kelly Starrett's, sorry about that, I drive recklessly. I love how the cars are just judging your driving all the fucking time now with the beeps and whistles and signals when I'm too close to hitting a fucking kid in the crosswalk. Like, mind your own fucking business, car. All right. In order to get to those levels, what are you going to have to, if everyone's bar gets raised and everyone becomes more professionalized, you still have to do something to elevate yourself higher. What is that thing going to be? And I talked about the business infrastructure. Those other guys, Eric Creasy, James Fitzgerald, we all know that they've created a business around their subject matter
expertness, the thing that they're really good at, that niche of a thing. They've created courses or certifications or educational components, whatever it may be. So you will, if you want to be a coach for life, it's not just about you coaching one-on-one people for life. I don't believe that's going to happen. I'm talking start to finish. And again, the experiment is so young that I think Sean or anyone else that's pushing this forward is going to have they don't have a big enough sample set and timeline of be like, oh no, Stu, we did it. We had this guy, he started when he was a coach when he was 19 and he worked his way through and we gave him these tools and now he's a professional and he's getting ready to retire at age 50. And he has $2 million in the bank saved up due to him being a coach for life. There is no fucking data set on that. It's not there. It does not exist. I don't even have to say at scale because it doesn't even exist at like no scale. Again, there's very, very few names out there that have been able to monetize their skill as a craft technician, a coach. Now, you can look at if you're in institutions like collegiate strength and conditioning coaches, professional sports and, strength and conditioning situations, that is a different story. All right, so if you're in any of those organizations, I'm excluding them from this conversation. I am talking about the independent coach or trainer who wants to be an independent coach or trainer for life. And I might be taking this out of context because, I'm not trying to put words in any of these companies' mouths or anything like that, that this is what they mean by coach for life. This is how I understand it when I hear people have this discussion about wanting to create, this coach for life scenario. The other thing I've got with this coach for life thing is I truly believe that people are fickle creatures. I think I mentioned that earlier. And with that, there is always a natural desire by human beings to ascend to a higher level. Very few people are complacent. And if you are complacent, you're not going to be one of the top 10%. Right? If I'm sitting here saying like, okay, only the top general coaches in the world are ever going to make a living, coaching people for life, then those are probably not very complacent people. Those are probably very driven, very aggressive, type A personality, get shit done, fitfo, figure it the fuck out type people. So by that degree, we would have to come to a conclusion that the majority of people are more fickle and they desire ascension in their life. They started coaching people, then they eventually want to coach coaches. And then from coaching coaches, they want to teach maybe organizations or coaches, or they want to develop their own school of coaching, their own style of coaching. And then they want to expand that to the mass. Like, I don't know what it, there is an ascension, I believe. If somebody truly starts off as, I want to be a coach for life, I truly think X amount of years in, not that they are jaded and hate coaching. I just think that there's like an ascension. Okay, I've coached people how to deadlift 10,000 times, 100,000 times. I'd like to maybe go ahead and work on something a little bit more complicated or a new project or something still in this realm. I'm still building on my career. It's still building on this body of work that I have. But the idea of like the career coach, and again, if that is your goal right now, please do not think I'm shitting on it or saying you can't do it. You can do it. It is going to require you to niche in though. Because I generally don't believe, like, no, I'm just the best group fitness coach in the world. Literally one of the best in the group fitness coach in the world. Nobody is a better group fitness coach for me. There is not a market for that, asterisk, yet. Will there be a market for it in the future? I sure as fuck hope so. Guys, I am so pro anything that adds to the professionalization of the fitness industry. It's ridiculous. I'm on your side on this. I'm also the fucking guy, though, that when everyone is like, yeah, coach for life, high five, like, cool, I like it, but can I just be the voice of reason over here and just kind of shine this flashlight of logic in the corner that nobody wants to look in on? Yeah, let's discuss that shit over there. That's what I do, right? That's what this channel's about, so most of my content is. So I'm asking you guys, what are your thoughts? Do you believe that a coach for life is a realistic scenario? If so, at the 10-year mark, right, or 20-year mark, because if you're going to do this for life, you're doing this for 30, 40, 50 years, at that 10 or 20-year mark, are you still doing the same coaching? If not, I'm curious, how are you going to ascend to something else? Are you going to niche in on a specific area of coaching? Are you going to generate a business infrastructure around you so you have other things happening? I'm just curious as to where that falls. you know, you think of a lawyer. A lawyer starts off, he passes the bar, he's like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna get hired as a, you know, a junior lawyer at some firm. He's making good money, he's paying off his student loan debt, he's learning the ropes. Well, over time, he does really, really well, and he gets a couple paralegals underneath him. He has a team. Then he does really, really well, and he starts getting corporate accounts. Then he does really, really well, and they make him a partner. Now he's a partner. Now he's literally only taking the cases he wants. He's got a team of lawyers underneath him that are doing the other work, and maybe he's going to write a book on how to reframe the judicial system. You guys see what I'm saying? So my question is, give me that. That's what I'm curious of. I don't want to end our conversation at, oh yeah, coaches for life, let's do it. Actually show me what that looks like based on some of the points I brought up. And I know someone will forward this to Sean. I'll probably forward it to him too. And maybe I'll get Sean or someone else on the podcast and we get jam on this. Because I don't think it's as much debate as it is, I want to develop the whole picture. And all these guys that are organizing this amazing thing, it's amazing to pursue the professionalization of the fitness coach. I'm all for it. It's a long experiment, a lot of trial and error, and there's about another 50 to 60 years of work that needs to get done. And I'm excited to see it unfold. I just want to keep having the conversation of talking about this and diving in on it deeper. So guys, please hit me up in the DM. Share this podcast with people. What do you think about it? What are your thoughts? And until I talk to you in the next podcast, have a great fucking day.